Now we'll ask our brother Andy to provide words of encouragement and exhortation to us on the theme of kindness.
Good morning, everybody.
I was joking with David just earlier because he's been up here so many times. I asked him if he wanted to give my exhortation. He said he would, but you know, maybe it's my turn to speak. We'll see. So good morning. I'm gonna start my talk on kindness just by kind of going back and remember that we've all been going through tough times and this over 2 year pandemic. You know, it's easy, I think, to fall in the traps of negativity because we're affected in some way by the COVID virus. You know, some of us have been sick. Some of us lost ones we care for. Some of us lost jobs. At a minimum, we've all been inconvenienced differently by all the rules and regulations that we have to abide by. We miss out on friends. We miss out on gatherings. We miss out on important events. And it's hard because when we go through tough times, we do notice a certain behavior that can affect us and can change our moment and our hour and our day. And I'm talking about kindness. And kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It goes with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so I'm going to tell you a backpacking story because it seems like every time I give an exhortation, I talk about something with backpacking. But I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me on a backpacking trip. And it was the first day of a 6-day, 45-mile trip in northern Yosemite that me and my friend were going on. And I was feeling really great and I was feeling really excited about this hike because it was to places I had never been before. And my dad talked about this one lake that he had been to when he had come to the United States and how beautiful it was and how one day I should try and get there. But and I was excited because this was our destination for on our fourth day, a couple days in. And I felt great about this trip and I was excited about this trip until I wasn't. And my friend and I had driven from his house about 40 feet in elevation to about where we were, about 90, 100 feet. And that's where I was suffering. We were about 4/5 up a 2,500 foot climb. And I got super tired and I was going slower and slower and slower. And I'd have to take about 100 steps and sit down and rest. And it's a textbook bonk. I bonked. And as I was sitting down on the side of the trail, a group of ladies had hiked up and they said hello to me. One asked how I was doing. And I told her I was good, but I was very, very tired. And she took off her pack and she gave me some small snacks out of her supply. And she gave me some of her water. And, you know, I hadn't asked for her for anything, but she just gave it to me. And she offered encouragement and then she just moved on. And before her visit, I wasn't looking forward to continuing hiking because I knew we had some distance to cover. I knew we still had to go uphill a bunch, but I was feeling like this was going to be a slog instead of what it was. You know, it's a gift of being in God's creation. And that visit lasted about 5 minutes, but her kindness and her checking in, giving me a snack, offering encouragement, changed my outlook from negative to positive. And it fired me up. And even though I was still tired, you know, I made it over the pass and I made it to the lake that we had planned to reach that day. And I was thankful for that moment that she had given me in that simple act of kindness. So kindness is defined as kindness, a noun, the quality or state of being kind, treating people with kindness and respect, a kind deed, favor. You know, the examples, they did me a great kindness, affection. Synonyms include benevolence, courtesy, favor, grace, mercy, service. And kindness is a noun, but to me it's a verb. You know, it's an action word. It's doing something that assists or helps others. Kindness is a skill that we all are familiar with and we all possess. We've all received acts of kindness from others. And kindness is an extension of our hearts to those around us. As believers, we're called to reflect the character of God. And the Bible tells us that God is love. And in defining what love is, we are told that, among other things, love is kind. So today, I want to look at a few Bible passages and focus on our Lord. Jesus is the perfect example of kindness and love. And if we ever need to see ways of changing the noun kindness into a verb, Jesus shows us. He healed the sick. He performed miracles. Jesus teaches us through his actions and his parables. His deeds teach us about important values. He raised children from the dead out of pity for their parents, as he did for Jairus. He healed the sick. He accepted people for who they were. And most important of all, and one of the greatest acts of kindness and love, he gave his life so that we can have the opportunity to be with him in the kingdom. So we'll take a look at a few biblical examples of kindness and the lessons that they teach us. And we'll start with showing compassion to the sick. So Luke 8, verses 40 to 48. It says, "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of 12, was dying. And Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and no one could help her or heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.' And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came, trembling, and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'" Women didn't have a lot of rights in those days. You know, if she had touched an official asking for help, she would have been in trouble. Yet Jesus treated her differently. Now he showed her care for her condition. He called her daughter, a term of endearment. And he understood her struggles and desperation, which led her to do what she did. And what do you think the woman felt at that moment? You know, she was clearly scared and she was trembling. And I think that because of her illness, she probably wasn't treated well by people around her. But can you imagine the relief that she felt when Jesus showed her kindness and compassion instead of reproach? You know, how do you think this act of kindness that Jesus offered her changed her life? But what I also like about this story is that he didn't heal the woman and then call it a day. He goes on to Jairus' house and helps there too. And reading in verse 49, it says, "While Jesus was still speaking, someone came to the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader," or "someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader." It says, "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." And when I read that, it's like, it makes me think, like, what did Jairus think when he heard this? You know, was he angry at the lady, the woman that Jesus just healed because she delayed the Lord? Did his faith stammer a moment? Or did he stay strong knowing his daughter could and would be made well again because he knew exactly who Jesus was? You know, I like to think it was the third one. You know, hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, she will be healed." And when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he didn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's mother and father. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up, and Jesus told them to give her something to eat. So when we help someone in need, we give them relief of care. You know, they may be going through something large or small, but then they know they aren't alone. And when we pray to our Father to help our troubles, no matter what the outcome, we feel like there's someone who is with us and who's helping, and that lifts a burden. Galatians chapter 6 says, "Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong in the family of believers." And we can help those who are sick in some various and easy ways, you know, cooking a meal, sending a card, calling to say hello. It's a small act of kindness that can make a huge difference in having a person feel supported and helping them feel better. You know, not only did Jesus in short order help the woman with bleeding, but then he went and healed the sick child. And kindness is not a one act and done sort of thing. You should always try to be kind whenever and wherever you can help. Another example is healing the leper in Matthew chapter 8. It says, "When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" And so in this case, leprosy means skin disease, not necessarily the actual form of leprosy. But because of their disease, lepers had been considered outcasts in Jesus' time. They lived separately and were seen as unclean. And in fact, you know, the United States used to have a leper colony in one of the islands in Hawaii. And these people were separated from the population and were set apart so they couldn't transmit their disease to others. And I remember seeing lepers in Mombasa when I was in Kenya. And it's a pretty horrible disease. I remember seeing people without fingers on their hands. And I remember their feet so swollen up that you couldn't see their toes. And imagine what it's like for a leper in Jesus' time. Someone with a skin disease. You know, it's unable to work because he was unclean. No person would hire them. They'd have to beg or they'd have to hunt for scraps of food through the refuse. You know, they were outcasts. But Jesus, taking pity on the leper, healed him of his disease. And he didn't see the man as a leper, but as a human being who was sick and needed his help. Our modern day equivalent might be that person that we see standing on the median in the street, holding a sign asking for money, food, or work. And I think it's very easy to see them as a person of less value than ourselves. And I'm guilty of that. Now, through his touching and healing of the leper, Jesus taught us that we should go beyond social stereotypes. We should look at where people are at in their life and understand their circumstance. Only then can we develop compassion. And there are many people in need in our society. And one of the benefits of our current times is that, compared to biblical times at least, is that there are safety nets for those people. You know, but the safety nets are often stretched beyond capacity, and there are people who fall through the cracks. And when we see people on the street medians holding signs asking for money or food, do we help or do we drive by? Could $5 be the difference between that person finally having a meal or maybe moving forward in their life? You know, potentially. It's easy not to see this part of society, but maybe a little bit of help is the start for that person on a change to improve their life, or maybe a little bit of help is the kindness that that person needs to get to the finish line. You know, it's something that we can do. But I also want to give you a word of caution. You know, kindness is a gift that we can give to anyone, but don't do it if it puts you in danger. And we have an inner sense that tells us doing something that it's unsafe. And so the example, and the reason I brought this up was like last week at work, I had this person who was definitely mentally unhealthy. He walked by our front door. He made me think of Legion because he was yelling and cursing at the top of his lungs. He was punching and kicking some signs we had put outside our door. And it seemed like at that moment, he could become violent and to any passersby and even to my staff. And it was a little scary, honestly. But I thought about that, and I was like, maybe the ask of kindness in this situation was not to go to that person directly, but maybe the act of kindness would have been to call for professionals who could go and get him the help that he desperately needed. You know, Jesus healing a leper was miraculous. And I like to think that the more miraculous life that person led after he was healed. Now, I'm sure he was turned from outcast into one who showed others and helped others from the example of kindness and love that he was given from our Lord. And then maybe one of the toughest acts of kindness to give is to those who have hurt us. Luke 22 says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and a man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, and Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. And Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs?" And in spite of Jesus knowing what was soon to happen to him, Jesus still found it in him to heal the man who was there to arrest him. Jesus was whipped, he was beaten, he was mocked. And even while he was being crucified, he managed to ask his Father to spare the people who have hurt him. You know, forgiving those who have done us wrong is one of the greatest acts of kindness that you can do. And it's not only for others, but it's for yourself as well. You give those who injured the chance to redeem themselves and yourself the opportunity to heal. Romans 12, verse 17 says, and through 21 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful that what you do is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And it's a tough lesson, right? You know, it's like when we're injured, it's natural for us to want to be offered something. You know, we could call this revenge. We could call it repayment. Call it recompense. And when we're wronged, we feel like we're owed something. But we shouldn't act with wrath towards others. No, we should act with good. If punishment is to be given, God will do that at the right time. And when we forgive others, we're showing the love and kindness that we also ask for, as we ask for the Father to forgive us when we sin. And when we ask for forgiveness and we are forgiven, we feel lighter and we feel like we're able to live fuller, emulating more of what God wants. And as one who forgives those who trespass on us, we also allow ourselves to remove the burden of anger and hate and pain that we have held since we were injured. And it's not an easy thing to do. I don't judge those who are in that place, but hope that they think of the example of Jesus on the cross near when he was giving his last breath, and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Unfortunately, letting go and forgiving someone who hurt me is something I've only had to do once. And it was difficult and it was scary, but it was so much the right thing to do in the end. And I think, like, wouldn't it be amazing to ask Jesus in the kingdom? It's like, remember that person that got his ear cut off when he came to rescue you? You know, you healed him, and whatever happened to him? And I'd like to think that Jesus' act of kindness made such a difference in that person's life that our Lord will answer the question by saying and pointing, "That servant who was there to arrest me is now my faithful believer and follower. He's sitting right there." You know, even if I don't know that this happened to the servant, I wouldn't be surprised. And then let's look at one more story, because I think it shows kindness in action and also shows lack of kindness in which we're all capable of. And this is Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. And I'm going to start earlier. I'm going to start in verse 25. And it says, on verse 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is it written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus said, "A man is going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. He put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, I'm sure we all do kindness for others. You know, most time, if we see a person in need, especially if we know that person, we'll jump in right away. Sometimes, though, we see a need, but we turn a blind eye. You know, who would you be in the story? We'd like to say that we'd be the Samaritan and offer help 100% of the time, but we know it isn't true. You know, how many of us have been the priest or the Levite in the story? And to my shame, I know I've been the Levite and the priest numerous times, and that isn't good. And how many times have we physically or metaphorically crossed to the other side of the road? And why aren't we kind? Is it we don't want to get involved? Are we in some angry state that we don't want to offer assistance? Or do we feel like the other party isn't deserving? Or are we uncomfortable forgiving for a reason such as safety or ridicule or the fear of maybe kindness won't be accepted? And I'm going to ask you to think about this on the coming days. You know, if you come across an opportunity that you can step in and help, will you help? And I'm not saying that we should ignore our personal safety for the sake of kindness. You know, you can tell when something's unsafe, but I think that's a rare reason to give. Strive to be supportive, strive to be kind, because when you do so, you're showing Christ's love. And we've read large examples of kindness and love shown by our Lord, and they're powerful. We think of what he did, and as we take our bread and wine, his ultimate act of kindness and love for you and I. Kindness doesn't need to be big to be powerful. It's like holding a door for someone with their arms full, or maybe offering an uplifting comment, or sending a note to a person who is sick, letting know that you're thinking about them and praying for them. That's all stuff that we can do. You know, it's an easy part. And the best part of kindness is that we all can do it. And when I was given that snack on the mountainside, it turned my mood and my day around. It didn't take much skill on her part to offer me that gift. But at that moment, it was really valuable to me. And acts of kindness are an easy gift that you can give to others. And those gifts can help change a person's moment, a person's viewpoint, a day, and even some of the biblical examples we looked at, life. So I'll ask you to go out and be kind. It's an easy gift to give. Thank you.